We're continuing in the tour and Shulchan Aruch, Siman Kufayin Tet and Yorei De'ah, our advanced class on sorcery, witchcraft, whatever names you could use in English. It's a little bit misnomers, misappropriation of terms, but it's the best we can do. We already learned the Rambam Machloket about whether one can factor in what he overhears from those who tell him at this hour you're better off doing that, where Rambam said that's an Isul Doraita, biblical prohibition, and Ramban said, well, if they're telling you, based on their understanding of the stars, that today's a bad day to start your business or whatever, why should you try to fight these laws of nature? And if you do find out, Ramban had said, you can take it into account. We don't go asking them, but if we get the information, we can work with it. And then we also learned this idea, the custom that they had, that they would always start a tractate on Rosh Chodesh. We discussed the minhag of getting married with a full moon, specifically when the moon is fuller or getting fuller. We went through the different customs and that some things are acceptable in halacha and others are not. And we covered the first two paragraphs, the first two seifim of these laws. That was covered 2 weeks ago. Now we move forward. Third paragraph. Everything I said was just an overview of what was done. Questions? Save it for Thursday night. We're moving forward. Menachesh. Yeah, Menachesh. What is Menachesh? The Torah says, Lo tinachashu. Don't do something that's called nichush. Maybe it has something to do with the nachash. Okay? Zeha omer, that's someone who states, Piti nafela mipi. Ooh, I dropped some bread from my mouth. O makli miyadi, or I dropped my cane or staff from my hand. O bni koreli machorai, or, oh no, my son is calling me from behind. Oh, shetzviv sikoba derech, or, see, in ancient times, a bad omen was that a deer crossed your path. Today they say a black cat, right? So in their days, it was a deer.
Did it evolve from that?
We still use deer in the headlights.
Oh, shavar nachash mimino, or a snake slithered by on my right side. Oh no. On my left side would be okay, but on my right side, now that's a bad sign.
But all this is superstition.
Oh, shual mismolo. Or a fox passed him on the left side. Perush be'echad me'elu she'era lo ose mimenu nichush she'lo latzet acharav la'derech. A person says, if one of these things happen, that's it. I'm not going to succeed on this. I was going to go to the airport. I'm not doing that. I was going to go cut a business deal. I'm not doing that. A snake slithered on my right side. A fox on my left side. A deer crossed my path. As I was leaving the house, my son called me from behind. Bad sign. That's it. It's not going to work. Forget it. Close up shop for today. I'm not going to work today. Or a person says, I was about to start building this cabinet, and then my son called me from behind. No way, it'll be a bad cabinet if I build it today. Goodbye. Not doing it today. So that's the Torah's prohibition. Don't do these acts that we would call superstition. And so too says the tour. People listen to the birds chirping, or they listen to the cat or whatever a chulda is. Maybe it's a weasel making its noise. And he says, oh, I heard the birds. I guess tomorrow the stock market's going up. Or he says, the stock market ain't going up tomorrow. I heard the birds chirping. Or people look at the stars and they say, I see that star going up. Not a good idea to go out today. Or people that when you come collecting, you say, we're collecting for charity. And they say, it's the morning. I shouldn't start my morning with paying. It's a bad omen. My whole day, I'm going to pay. Don't start with me. Or people say, Motzei Shabbatu, it's Motzei Shabbos. You want me to start paying money? The week just started. I have to collect money. I can't give money. Siftach. I didn't say anything. Rosh Chodeshu. A person says, it's Rosh Chodesh, it's a new month. I can't start the month by paying, I have to start the month by receiving. So that's another example, says the Torah, of the biblical. You don't know? Ah, better you don't know. We'll leave it. There are still superstitious people today that come from certain places. They have this thing called siftach, where they say, the first customer of the week, they have to make a sale. Now, if you know the people who believe in this, then you can get a really good deal with them. And they can get really annoyed at you. There's a known arms dealer, a guy who sells guns and paraphernalia, that if you show up to him on Sunday and you're his first customer, he'll give you everything you want for a shekel. So it's like a known secret. I can't tell you where. So people go to him. Like, there's like a long line. People want to be the first. And now he's up north, so you have to really travel to get them. Well, when I heard about it, it was 2-3 years ago. People would go up there. They try to figure out which Sunday was the right Sunday. And then they'd get a whole long list. They'd come with their ammunition, if it's their long gun or their short gun and whatever. They'd have a long list of what they're going to ask him for. So that's this superstition that my first deal of the week has to be a good... I have to make a sale. Or people say, better slaughter that rooster called like a raven last night. Or slaughter that tarnagolet, that female hen, because she crowed yesterday like a rooster. She made a male sound. You gotta kill her. Or if people say, this is a dangerous one, people say, I'm making a sign. If this happens, I will do that. Now that's something people do, says the tour. People say, if it doesn't happen, I won't do it. How many times do people do this? Eliezer Eved Avraham, says the tour, just like Eliezer, the servant of Avraham, did. He said, if the girl offers me a drink and says, I'll give the camels to drink, it's a sign she's the right girl. Otherwise, she's the wrong girl. Maybe she's a girl who's doing chesed, but right now she has to run and help an old lady. Maybe her parents are waiting for her, and it's not their acheretz for her to stand there giving other people to drink while her parents are waiting for her to bring the water home for dinner. That's a sign she's a balat chesed. She has no responsibility. She could stand there watering his camels. So Eliezer invents a sign. And Chazal say that's the prohibition of lot and nachashu. Hashem made it work, but it was a dangerous thing that he did. Chazal say that's the biblical prohibition. That's the Yisud D'Oraita of Lot and Nachashu. Okay, fine. I'm making a blessing, and our listeners should not answer Amen, because this is not going online live. So just, they asked me to warn when I make a blessing, say, otherwise they naturally, instinctively say Amen. So don't say Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam
Shehakol Nihyeh B'Dvaro. Amen.
Okay, so we're going to quickly run through the Beis Yosef's commentary, but you guys would like me maybe to do one more paragraph before we go into the Beis Yosef commentary and then the Shulchan Aruch. What we saw thus far is not yet halacha. It's the Torah's opinion of what halacha is. We'll continue for a minute to read one more paragraph. Aval says the Torah, but there are exceptions. And he's quoting Gemaras here. Bait, isha, vitinok, a house, a wife, a baby, mutala sotan siman. A person could say that will be a sign. Now that's a Gemara. Kigon, for example, shekana bait. And a person buys a house, v'omer, and a person says, me'et shekanitiv, from the time I bought that house, haya laila siman tov. It's a good sign. Ki tzlachti b'chol drachai. Everything seemed to work out right after I bought that house. V'chen mishenasati isha plonit. Person can say, ever since I married this lady, everything's been going right in my life. That's a valid sign. Oh no. V'chen. Saying, how many people get married and then they'll say, you know, a lot of it is in the eye of the beholder. But that's a valid sign, the Talmud says. V'chen shomer letinok. And another thing is, a person can tell a young child, Sokli psukha, Tell me, what verse you learned today? And the person says, oh, he told me a verse from the blessings, and then he's happy with that. So those are three exceptions that the Talmud says are okay. The Katava Rambam writes, why are these three and their like permitted? Because there was no actual act that was done as a result of the sign. You just decided, oh, it's a good sign, made you happy. Good, be happy. That's okay, says the Rambam. But if you were to decide, now I better sell that house, because ever since I bought that house, my stocks have been going down. That, no, says the Rambam. Because a person did not focus his actions or say, I'm not going to do something. The only thing he did was he said, oh, it's a good sign for me. Being that he already did it, he already bought the house. After he bought the house, his stocks went up. Okay, he's happy, good. The Gemara says, that's allowed. You could feel like ever since I bought that house, I've had good luck in my life. You could feel like ever since I got married, things have been bright in my life. That's fine. Because it's after the fact. You're not deciding on an action based on a sign. You already did the action, and after the fact, you're looking for signs. I don't think it's such a smart thing to do, personally. Because how many people would get married and their stocks would go down, and they'd say, oh, what a mazel my wife brought me. And then what happens to their marriage? So I'm not sure I would recommend this, but fine. Those are the two paragraphs the Tur told us on the subject. Says Rav Yosef Karo in his commentary, the Beit Yosef. He says the first point, that if a person says, ooh, I dropped my bread, ooh, I had a snake pass on my right, a fox, shual is a fox, on my left, that's a braita, that's a Tanakh quote from the Talmud in Tractate Sanhedrin. And what he then says, if you hear the birds chirping, or you hear the chuldah, which is some kind of cat or weasel making a noise, so that's also over there in the Talmud. The Talmud says, lo tenachashu. What does the verse mean? Don't do this form of superstition called nichush. Kigonelu amnachshim bechuldah uveufot uvkochavim. People who look at the chuldah, some type of weasel, the birds, or the stars, and then based on that, they try to figure out what's to be. We already discussed earlier Maimonides and others' opinions as to what it means to be superstitious about the stars. Seems like the Tur agrees with the Rambam. Don't try to think that because of a certain star, something's going to happen. Well, earlier we saw that Nachmanides says that's not so. The stars do tell you what's going to happen, and you don't have to ignore what the stars are telling you. You see that at the end of the day, Rabbi Akiva's daughter was going to die on the day of her wedding. What you have to know is that if you're pious enough, you can overcome the stars. But that doesn't mean they're false. So Ramban had disagreed with the Rambam. That's what we discussed. That Ramban had said that if you become privy to that information, you can factor it in. But the Tur seems to go with the Rambam, that it's all prohibited. V'nichush do'afot, and about the birds, we also discussed. V'cheinelu shomrim, another example was people who say, listen to how that rooster crowed, you have to slaughter that hen. So that's a Talmud in Tractate Shabbos. The Talmud over there is discussing which actions are called darkei ha'emori, behaviors in which if a person behaves, it's considered that he's emulating pagan ways. And one of the examples the Talmud gives is slaughter that chicken because he crowed at night instead of in the morning. Or that female who crowed like a male. Or that rooster that crowed after everyone else finished crowing. So all that, you're not allowed to do that. That's considered pagan superstition. Now, the problem is there was a custom that when a female rooster crowed like a male, they did use to slaughter it. even though it says in the Gemara you're not allowed to. So the Maharil, there was a rabbi in Germany named Mahari Segal, and he had a student who would write down everything he did. And so he has a book called The Customs of the Maharil, which is an ancient book of customs. It's about 700 years old. We have it today. I own at least one, if not two, copies at home. Then the Maharil wrote a response up. Aside from what his student wrote, he also wrote a response up. And in that response, he writes that their custom was they would slaughter a female chicken, a hen that crowed like a rooster. And people would say, we have a tradition from the Rishon, from Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, who told us to do that. So he says, I once asked one of the rabbis, why do people do this? Who allowed them to do it? And he says that people say that it's only if a person says, slaughter it because it called like a man. But if you just say slaughter it without saying the reason, that's okay. And then he says, I saw in the book of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, and he himself asked the question there, and he answers it, and I don't remember what his answer is. The Maharil says, I once came across Rabbi Yehuda Chassid's work, and he asked the question, why that's okay, and no thank you, and I don't remember the answer he gives there. So some have a version in Talmud that says it's permissible, and it could be that that's why people did it, because there were two versions to what it says in the Talmud. The Talmud gives a listing of what's prohibited, and according to some editions in Talmud, when it says but slaughtering a female chicken that calls out like a male, according to some versions of Talmud, they would have it written over there that's permissible. So he says maybe that's why those communities did it. That was what it says in their Talmud. It could be that then the rabbis had deduced that there was a natural reason why it was recommended to slaughter such a chicken. We move forward. So when the tour gave an example and he said, anything a person says, if this happens, I'll do that. And if that happens, I'll do this. Like Eliezer said, if she offers me a drink and my camel's a drink, then I'll take her as a wife for Yitzchak. That's prohibited. So that's actually a line in Talmud. The Talmud, the Gemara in Tractate Chulin says, in order for something to be considered a nachash, a prohibited form of what we might call superstition, it has to be like Eliezer, the servant, said. If A happens, I'll do B. Right? How many times are people tempted to do that? If they'll call me again with the job offer, I'll take it. What's the logic in that? Does it make sense to take it or not? You could say, if they call again, then I know that they're really interested in me, then I'll do it. But if you say it's an omen from God, who told you you're allowed to do that? A person says, Rabon Shom, if you want me to stay in yeshiva, then on the next test I'm going to get 100. Then my aliyah papers will work out. If you really want me to make aliyah, then who said you could make such conditions for God? The Talmud says another example of that is the story of Jonathan, Yonatan ben Shaul. So Rashi explains over there that Rashi says, Kol Nachash. It has to be that a person says, I'll only do it if this happens. When the Talmud says, it has to be like Eliezer or like Yonatan. Eliezer and Yonatan were only going to do it if their system worked out. We're not like that. We have all kinds of excuses, right? There was a guy who said... there are a lot of examples to this, but let's take a simple one. If I'm meant to stay in yeshiva, then my aliyah papers will work out. And they didn't work out. But his mom called him and said, your dad and I are sending you a check for another such and such sum so that you can hold over a little bit longer till your Aliyah papers work out. So he says, okay, I'm staying around. Wait a second. You said it has to be A in order for you to do B. So we're all like that. So long as something positive happens in that direction, we're ready to go. We're not really saying it has to be like this, right? So that's already okay. The Talmud says it has to be that you made a condition and you're going to stick to it. Eliezer was not prepared to talk to another girl. If you do not offer me and my camels a drink, I will not talk to you. She could be the most pious girl. She could be the nicest girl. She could be the girl that everyone's raving about her chesed. I made up a sign. If she fits into my sign, we're talking. And if not, goodbye. That's a nachash. That's prohibited. This is Rashi's explanation. The Rambam writes, the prohibition is discussing... The Rambam writes that the Talmud was coming to tell you what's prohibited. When the Talmud says, if you don't do it like Eliezer, the Talmud wasn't saying, you have, like Rashi explains, that that's telling you you have to be a stickler to the rules you just set up. The Talmud was saying, you want to know what's the prohibition of Nachash? That's what Eliezer did. So we'll ask, wait a second, then how is Eliezer allowed to do it? How is Yonatan allowed to do it according to Rambam? Eliezer and Yonatan were both righteous people. The Medrash says Eliezer went into... So the Kesef Mishneh, Rav Yosef Karo himself in his commentary on the Rambam says that they used the sign that was logical. Eliezer said, I want to see if she's a kind person, if she offers me a drink. Then I know that she's the right girl. Yonatan said, if they tell us, wait right there, we're coming for you, that's a sign, not in a superstitious sense. That Yonatan said, that means they're strong enough that they're confident to come and attack us. Then we're in trouble. If they say, come up here, let's see who will win. So he wasn't just thinking, oh, when they say come up here, that's a sign that we will win the battle. You come up, they tell us. But rather, it shows they're scared. They're outnumbering us. We're two. They're hundreds. And they tell us, you come here and we'll show you something. That's a sign that they're scared of us. Ah, then that means they realize that we stand a chance at winning. So that, says the Kesef Mishnah, is permissible. If a person says, if it starts raining this morning, I won't go on that field trip. There's logic to that. You can make conditions, and that's what I said earlier. If your employer, if you say, if they call me again, I'm taking the job. There's a certain logic. You're saying, if they're really interested in me. If you're saying it's a sign from above, that not. But if there's a logic, then that's okay. That's how Rav Yosef Karo explains. So this is in a nutshell. There's more to be said about it. It's not our topic right now. We're moving forward. The Ravid says, but that's permissible. What the Talmud is saying is, you shouldn't think you can rely on it unless you do it like Eliezer. But what Eliezer did was permissible. So we have a big argument between Rambam and Ravid. Ravid says you're allowed to say such a sign. You're allowed to say, Rabbon Shom, if she's the right one, this is what should happen. Ravid says Eliezer didn't do anything wrong. All the Talmud was telling us is that if you're not a stickler to what you said, don't expect God to play by your rules. Meaning sometimes people say, like the example I gave, if they extend my Aliyah papers, I'm staying. And then they don't, but something else positive happens. His boss tells him, you're getting a raise. So he says, well, okay. So God didn't give me exactly what I asked for, but that's good enough. Fine. So that, says the Ravid, the Talmud's telling you, then don't think it's going to work. Meaning if you're not a stickler to what you said, then don't expect it to work. But it's not prohibited. So the Ravid argues on the Rambam. We have Rashi that says this is a definition of what's called Nachash. Rambam that says this is a definition of what's prohibited. Ravid that says it's not a question of prohibited. It's a question of what's called a Nachash. Sometimes it's prohibited, sometimes it isn't. The Talmud wasn't discussing whether it's prohibited or not. The Talmud was informing you, you want to make a sign, you got to stick to your signs. That's the Ravid's interpretation. We haven't yet discussed Halacha. We're discussing the different opinions as to how to understand this line in Talmud. Now, as a footnote, within the Rambam, we saw the Kesef Mishnah that says that even according to Rambam, that you're not allowed to make signs, that's contingent on the sign not having any logic built in. But if the sign is logical, like by Yonatan and Eliezer, and I'll add my little 2 cents, logical up to a point. Because like I said, there can be the kindest girl in the world, and the reason she isn't offering you a drink is because she's pretty busy helping her parents. Because she's pretty busy helping an old lady. So to walk into the scene and say, this is my sign. Well, it's logical, but only up to a point. You could say, I have no way of verifying why she isn't offering me a drink. And if she did offer me a drink, then that's a good sign. But there's still a lot of room to ask. And the Talmud in Tractate Tanis says it was a pretty dangerous thing what Eliezer did. He was fortunate that Hashem made it work out right. So those are the 3.5 opinions we saw in understanding what's permitted and prohibited. We do not yet know Halacha. So now we're exploring the background. Yes, sir.
How is that different from prayer? When you come to your personal path of the person, you can ask for stuff you want, or you don't always get what you ask for, and then you have to work with what you get.
But you're not making an ultimatum.
No, it's not an ultimatum.
But many people ask for stuff that they don't. If I get this, I promise to work on those midot.
Good question.
It's a condition.
But it's not a sign. I can say, Rabbon Shalom, if you help me make $1 million, I'll give 20% charity instead of 10%. That I could say. It's not give me the sign. There's nothing wrong.
No, but it's a condition.
I'm saying, if you give me a wife, then Bezrat Shem I'll do achnasat orchim. When I'm alone, it's not so practical to do achnasat orchim. I'll have a home.
But then there's logic to that.
Right. There's nothing wrong with that.
Logical.
Wait. So before we continue, we need to pause right now.